Well, I would appreciate your prayers. I have a thought that I've kind of been excited about getting to share because it adds a lot of my testimony in it. And I like telling what the Lord does for me. My thought this morning, I want to ask the question, what is God to you? Because I think sometimes people think about God as some being way out beyond the clouds, that has little to do with anything that's going on in life. Or maybe get the impression from the way people think about the way they live lives that maybe God is not paying attention but what is God to you? Is he an abstract idea without much influence? Because sometimes I read, especially some of the Old Testament scriptures, the Psalms, for instance, I read those and I get an impression sometimes that they had an idea that we don't have. I mean, even simple scriptures like the Lord is my shepherd. I mean, the whole idea of that isn't some abstract idea out there. A shepherd was very active among. I mean, he was a main part of that sheep's life. I mean, he couldn't do without it. And the Lord is my shepherd was very expressive in the idea of what God was to him. I mean, what's God to you? And I want us to think about what God is. Because it's really magnificent. It's incredible. It's incredible what God is. Do you know none of us have the right to boast anything of ourselves? Oh, I know we get that idea sometimes. And sometimes we even think because I can take myself, for instance, and I take somebody else, and I can make a choice that betters me. And they can make a choice that doesn't better them. And if I make a number of choices that better me, I can get to feeling like that I'm really, man, I'm getting going. I'm doing it, you know. Well, it's good to make right choices, but folks, it's still God. I mean, it really still is God. Do you know your occupation? You may say, I have put into this, and maybe you should do all that. But at the end of it all, the best thing that we can say is that we're unprofitable servants. You know that anything that we can get or have comes from God? We should always acknowledge God in our lives because God really is the one that gives our life. Now, if you needed light in here, and there's a switch back there on the wall, you could say, we need light in here, and I can say, I can do it for you, and I can walk back there and hit that switch, and everybody can say, oh, he's wonderful. He just brought light into the room, right? But to be honest with you, that didn't have much to do with the light in here. Someone else put the lines in. Somebody else hung the bulbs. And even the ones that put the lines in and the bulbs don't push the electrons. That's the power company. But we wouldn't give the power company the glory either. You know why? Because God made the copper for the lines. He made it to push electrons. He made the people to figure it out that had the mind to do it. God did all of those things. So when it's all said and done, when we look at all of it, we say, thank God. God has done all of these things. You remember the character of Nebuchadnezzar? Now listen, Nebuchadnezzar was a pretty good fellow there. I mean, he was a unique fellow. He didn't just become a king of something. I mean, they conquered land for that. They were mighty. So give him credit for being mighty. No. He could have died when he was born. But Nebuchadnezzar did do a lot of, I mean, it's the evidence of his kingdom was long gone. But historians and those that look at it, and the scripture itself says, remember Daniel, when he interpreted the dream, says, oh king, that golden head, that's you. The splendor of your kingdom is unmatched. It's unmatched. He had great architecture. They had smart people there that brought water in. They had it was splendorous. I mean, it was wonderful. To the point that Nebuchadnezzar walks out one day and looks at it and said, look what I have done. Well, did he do it or not? Did he have anything to do with it or not? But the Lord was displeased with that. Think about it. I had these splendid architects, and the Lord said, yeah, I made them and gave them to you. I built these great things. Yeah, you did it with my stone. Yes. I made all these wonderful, this hanging garden with all these plants. Yeah, my plants. You took my plants, my stones. You used my air to breathe. You took the strength of my food to do it with. You used my daylight to do it with. You did everything that I had made and done it, and now you're puffing yourself up that you're special. What's God to you? isn't God supposed to be in the heart of a true worshiper more than this service? More than Sunday service? Isn't the heart of a true worshiper that finds the value of God in their lives everywhere? God is in life everywhere. You know, I don't always think of this. Sometimes I get thirsty or want a drink, and I get a drink of water without much thought of it. But you know, there's been times that I forgot my water jug. And I've been out working all day, and I didn't have nothing to drink. And folks, this has happened a number of times to where I go back home, and I get me a big glass of cold water. And I take a drink of that cold water, and I let it down and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this water. Now, I'll say something today. If you're here today, or obviously you're here today, you're here today because the Lord let you be here. Okay? You're breathing God's air this morning. The life that you have, God gave you this morning and extends it. Nobody lives by themselves. It's by God's gift that we live. And everything that we do, I marveled at this because my occupation, obviously, I've been different things in my life. I started off, I worked at sawmills. I've cut trees. I've worked in construction. I've put roofs on houses. I've done different various things in my life. I've become a surveyor. I worked in surveying for a number of years. And then all of that went away, and now I call myself a Church of God minister. When I have to write something on a piece of paper, it says occupation, I write minister on the paper. That's what I say my occupation is. And I hope you'll agree with me, but I feel like God gave me a gift of that. And so that's why I pursued that. But it isn't any less so today if you're a mechanic. Oh, you're going to claim you're a mechanic because you're good enough to be one? Now, Brother Dan, I ain't saying that I know you're a mechanic, but what I'm saying is I'm very gifted. But you can be like Nebuchadnezzar and say, boy, am I good. Yes. Or you can say, what I have from God. Right. I am what I have. And if that's true, then that belongs to God, right? We don't have to say that belongs to God. And then when I start taking those things in for myself, the things that I can do belongs to God. It'll be up to the Spirit and everything to lead us in those kind of things. But it's still of God. It's still of God and it's still God. What is God to you today? I think God should be everything to us today. If I can walk, thank God for that. The water that I drink, thank God for that. The prophet, I think Daniel told the king, O king. Now I want you to get something right here. I'm going to ad lib this, but king, I want you to understand something. You went and you got some stuff from the temple and you've defiled it and you've done that to God. But I'm going to tell you something. Your breath is in his hand. So you consider this today as you go through life. Your breath is in his hand. I'm not an electrician. I played around with it. But if you're one, your occupation still belongs to God. And if it comes time for some electrical work to be done in the chapel, don't call me. I'll preach to you. You do the electric, okay? I'm just saying that you can say this belongs to me and I went to school and I learned how to do it and I had the mind to do it, so I'm going to use it for myself. But I'm going to say that's an error. Because you couldn't do any of that unless God allowed you to be it. So Nebuchadnezzar takes the idea that I've done this because I'm good enough to do it. And God took the idea that none of it's yours. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, I set you up to be king. Now, we get pretty worked up sometimes about our elections. I'm going to tell you something. God don't have to allow anybody to be anything. Even in free elections. He doesn't have to do it. And if he does it, is it not our mind? Should be our mind to say, oh Lord, what are you doing? Help us to be able to be what we're supposed to be in that. Of course we're not going to want ungodliness. But some of these kings he allowed set up were... You want to go through the list of Israel's kings? There was as many ungodly or more than they was once followed in the footsteps of David. And he still said to the people, I set them up and I take them down. What is God to us today? I appreciated Brother Leslie Busby because we all that knew him knew he had a way of finding and seeing God in an orange. In a honeybee, in a flower, in a tree. But I want to tell you, he wasn't mistaken. There is no orange, flower, honeybee, and tree that God didn't make. It's all God. Lord, help us, because God's everything to us. This is the way we should live our life. Listen, we lost our checkbook. And we had an old dear brother up in our congregation, Brother Jim White, that had a special relationship with the Lord. He just was close. He lived his life as close as he could to God. And when he had any kind of thing happen to him in his life, God was there. I mean, he looked at us. Everything was God. He had a wreck where he run into a guy, and he said, I went to town and had a wreck and made a friend. The people that he hit, he got out, and before he got through, they invited him for the wrecker to kind of get, they invited him to supper. He went and had supper with them. He had a spirit about him that people were drawn to. And everything was about it. And he used to pray for his checkbook. When he had lose his checkbook, and he come one day and he said, told us, he said, that he had lost his checkbook and us to pray about his checkbook. And so we was praying for Brother Jim to find his checkbook, couldn't find it anyway. And he comes back Wednesday night and says, you know, he said, I looked everywhere for that checkbook and I could not find it. And I went and sat down in my chair and I said, oh Lord, I know you know where that checkbook's at. And he said, the Lord said to him, Jim, put your hand down in the chair. And he was like, huh? You know, put your hand down. And he put his hand down in the chair and pulled out his checkbook. And he was telling us that the Lord had helped him find that checkbook. So we had lost our checkbook and we lost it. And with Brother Jim only had to trail his own mind to try to find it. But Linda and I lost our checkbook and we didn't know which mind to trail. Because we didn't know who had it last. And so we looked and she wrote the last check. But then I thought I took it to do something. And so I was trying and it become, and then our imagination started. You ever do that? Our imagination started going and she said, you know, maybe I left it at the Dollar General. And I said, I better get online and check and see if anybody's writing checks. And I get on there and it started, all of a sudden imagination started happening and said, surely somebody's doing something. And we was about to start in this. And that's the way I put a prayer request in. Lord, help us. He did, Brother Jim. Help us find this. So when I trailed everything down to the end of trailing it down and all this, you know, Lord, I know the Lord knows where this checkbook's at. Yes. I was walking in the living room, and this is one of those moments that you just feel. I felt like the Lord's told me to check the windowsill. You know, if you was going to pull the curtains back, you may lay the checkbook down. And that's the first thing that I thought in my mind. Check the windowsill. And I just felt like the Lord told me that. And so, I thought, surely, but that's what's happened. Went to pull the curtain back, laid it down, and then the curtains got closed back in there, and who would have thought to look there? And it was like, oh, and I went and looked, and I know you all was going to think that I was going to say the checkbook there, but it wasn't. Checkbook wasn't there. And I looked I thought sure it was there because I felt that, like the Lord told me that, and it was there, and it wasn't there. So I was like, oh, so I'll just go ahead and pin the curtain back. I went to put the curtain back and I looked and Linda had a basket there like for magazines and stuff. And right between the wall and that basket was that checkbook. What's God to you? Yes. Well, I'll tell you, He made the universe. But He knows where your checkbook's at. And He doesn't want us ever to start boasting ourselves that I'm better even than the drunk. Because the only thing that makes me different, if I'll boast of anything, I'll boast of Christ. Because He's the one that's made me different than anybody else or made me different and changed or anything. I can say I have a wonderful marriage and I thank God for it. But you know, I can say I thank God for it. I do try. I want you to get ready. I try and she tries. But you know what we both know? If we didn't have the Lord, our trying would fail. It's God. That's what He is to us. He's not just out there somewhere. He's with us. He's here. He's everything. His water, His air, His food, His stuff, His strength. Everything that He does. When you say, well, they make some good automobiles. Yeah, things has come a long ways. They use God's stuff to do it. God gave us the intelligence to do it. I can still say, thank God for the things that's in our life. Now, I want to start with a scripture in Acts. The 17th chapter of Acts. This is a familiar scripture. It says in the 22nd verse, it says, Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you. Okay? Now, Paul was promoting the gospel, wasn't he? I mean, his number one goal was to tell people about them being in sin and a Savior. Jesus Christ coming and dying for their sins, being buried and resurrecting to life, right? This is the gospel, good news. Got good news for you. That's what he's ultimately wanting to get to, but it's not where he started here. He started with the very fundamentals of it. Let me tell you about who you're ignorantly worshiping. Let me tell you about him. And he says, God that made the world. See, he got right there. He got right to the fundamentals. If God didn't create it, who did? No, he did. He created it. If he created the world, he still runs the world. If he put it in motion, then he still keeps it in motion. There's a lot that goes with this. The God that you ignorantly worship, let me tell you about him. All through the time, Abraham knew him as the living God. Moses knew him as the living God. Joshua knows him as the living God. David knows him as the living God, of whom you ignorantly worship. Let me tell you about a living God. Means something. He's animated. He's got motion to him. He's got thought to him. He gives life. There's something to this God. Let me tell you about this one that you ignorantly worship. He made the world. Wait a minute. What about these other gods? That's right. These other gods, they fall in under this. The God that made it all. These gods are no gods. They have feet and they can't walk, and they got eyes and can't see, and ears and can't hear, and hands and can't handle. But this God made the world. And all things therein. See, the real heart of a true worshiper is that it's all God. Can I say this? If you get bit by a spider, it was God's spider. Now, I know you may not like spiders and wonder why he done it. But the true worshiper still knows that it's God's spider. And he still rules the spiders. He rules the world of the spiders. God is still God. We can look at things as negative, but the true worshipers look at all of this as God's. The bacterias that will decay our bodies, all things therein. He made all things therein. He created all things therein. Well, I might get a virus and get something. All things therein. God made all of it. It's all under him. Yeah, I don't know if you ever heard the story of George Washington. George Washington believed in God. I mean, he believed in an intervening God. He believed in a God that was at hand. He believed in that God interfered in the affairs of men. He believed God worked in people's lives and done things for them. And he rode into battle and got a number of horses shot out from under him. I think he got two in one battle shot out from under him. Never touched him. Do you know that George Washington was reported to have a number of holes through his coat? I'm telling you, that's getting close to shoot your coat and not cut no hide. Never cut no hide on George Washington, but they got through his coat several times. But he also had a God that can protect him. And he believed in that God. This is the God that Paul says to them there on Mars Hill. You worship and you're too superstitious, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you about the one that made the world. He made that and all things therein. Seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands. Folks, God don't need us. We need him. He's not worshipped with men's hands. It's a worship beyond that. It's a worship of the heart. We could try to worship Him by making great cathedrals. Many people have. We'll show His honor and glory by making some great cathedrals, and we'll do great things with it. And then most of the time that just puffs up the one that does it to say to other ones, we've outdone you, we've made a bigger temple to our God than you did yours and all those things. And he comes along and says it does nothing for God to do those things. For he made all of those things. It's not impressive to him. You know, we live in a technological world that just amazes me. You can get on the internet and troubleshoot stuff, and the information you can find is just unreal that it's all out there. But I am here to tell you that God is not impressed by the internet. It isn't an impressive thing to him. It said, neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Anything that you and I can claim, folks, it's God. We can put out our utmost diligence and somebody else be lazy. And we can accomplish because we're diligent, and they don't accomplish because they're lazy. And we can look at that, but I'm going to tell you, the glory of our accomplishments goes to the Lord. Yes. The only way we can accomplish anything in this world is because God lets us do it. It's all in the Lord. We should never take a boastful attitude about anything, but humble ourselves and say, thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to have enough life, to be able to use my mind, to still have a mind. Not everybody has a mind. Not everybody has the ability. God can remove all of that from us at any time. So Lord, help us. Remember, there was a scripture one time where a guy, he went and borrowed an axe. You remember that fella? And I think that was Elisha, if my memory's right. But he went down and went along the creek and was chopping, and the head flew off of the handle and went out into the water. And he was sorrowful and grieved because he said, I borrowed that. I borrowed it and I was supposed to return it back. Listen, one of the hardest things in my life has been what I call dual responsibilities. Now, I'm a person that would take on an overlot of responsibilities, but I'm very keen about the ones I take on. If I'm responsible for something, I'll hang in for the responsibility of it. But sometimes they overlap. And boy, I don't know what to do about it. I can get myself in a real case when I'm supposed to be ministering in a revival, and I've gave my word on that, and I'm going to be there to do it, and it's my responsibility. Then somebody gets sick, or something. You ever been in places like that you felt like your responsibility overlaid? And I've found it completely impossible to be two people. It's really a hard thing to try to be two people in two different places doing two different things. But you feel the responsibility of both places. And what do? Anybody want to give me a pat answer on that one? Which responsibility do you take? Do you ever run into that? You know you're responsible for both, and what can you do about it? You ever had a third responsibility pop in there on you? You got this one, and all of a sudden the children's crying and they need some attention, or you got something else going on. What do you do then when the responsibilities do that kind of stuff on you? We need the Lord. I'm going to try to explain this the best I can. There is no place in God that there's not an answer. And when God allows those things to come, there's an answer. But I'll tell you, I just don't know what they are. I need the Lord to help me to know what it is. And I remember when my oldest boys was coming of age, and I felt the responsibility of their lives. But I'm a minister that travels around the country and had the responsibility of that and had taken it on. And where other young men their ages was enrolled in vocational and getting their occupations and starting jobs and that kind of stuff, my boys wasn't able to do that. I felt the responsibility, but I didn't know how to do it. How do I do it and then take a cross and be 6 weeks on a trip? I don't know how to do this, Lord. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to do this, and I can't do it the way other ones do it. But Lord, if I'm faithful, I believe you can do it. I believe you can step into that responsibility and help me where I don't know what to do with it. This man had a responsibility of an axe head. But he didn't have the ability to go in and get it. He wanted to, didn't he? He wasn't being negligent. It didn't say anything him of treating that axe any different than an axe should have been treated. But it still happened to him, and it flew off. What am I going to do? But God knows what to do. God can make the things float. I say in my son's life, I saw God step in at the time that it should have been stepped in and made the difference. And I am very thankful that God can be more to us than some inanimate object or inanimate being that sets out in the universe that can't do anything for us. He's a God that can help us. I like telling this testimony too. When my oldest son was coming up of age, we liked to deer hunt, and he had got to be 10 years old, and that's the time you have to get a hunter safety course in order to buy tags to hunt. And you can hunt, but you can't buy any if it don't require buying tags. And so my son came up to me, and he really wanted to hunt, and I wanted to fulfill that for him, and it come time to get the hunter safety so he could do that. And the only time that we could get a hunter safety course, and I'm not holding this to anybody else, you'll follow the Lord your way, but it was on Sunday. It was on Sunday. And I was supposed to be at home. I was supposed to be preaching in the congregation. I was supposed to be there for Sunday. And it's really hard to be in Elkins doing a hunter safety course and being preaching in Green Bay at the same time. It's really, really hard. And so I talked to my son, and I knew he'd be disappointed because without it, you can't do certain things. And so I told him, this is what we're going to do. We're going to put God first. And I'm sorry that happened. If it happened any other way, I'd have done it, but I can't. And so we're going to put God first. And I said, son, let me assure you of something. You'll never go wrong in your life putting God first. And even when it hurts or it feels like it ain't, I'm going to tell you, you can't do wrong with God. And you know what? He accepted that. And I'm going to tell you what, he couldn't hardly keep a deer off of him. He went hunting, and you can say what you want. I know what I feel like. He went hunting the first day he went hunting, that he was allowed to hunt. It's really, really hard to get 10-year-olds to kill a deer sometime. He got a deer. He was so happy about that, and I told him if you get a deer then, you can go to the buck season. First day of buck season, he kills a deer too. It's really, really, that's really hard to do, get a 10-year-old to kill a couple of deer on that. And he done it, and I'm going to tell you my testimony. I thank God blessed him. I thank God simply reward. You don't think God could? You may say God wouldn't want to do that. It's too trivial. But see, with me, I don't believe anything's trivial in God. I think God is everything. He's in everything. And I think He wants to work in our lives. And I think if we put Him in that place and we watch and we see and we look, that we'll find God's that real to us. I do think God can say to us, look behind the couch. Look down in the chair. I think the Lord can say to us, slow down, speed up. You need to hurry. Go here. I think the Lord can do that because I feel like the Lord has done that for me in my life. So I think the Lord, what is the Lord to you? Because if the Lord is only something that we come to Sunday service on, folks, we've missed it. That's not what He is. And true worshipers come together to worship together, but we worship the Lord all the time. Worshiping God is a life way. We worship the Lord all the time because we see Him in everything. We'll step out into His sun. We'll breathe His air. We'll walk on His gravel, no matter who spread them. We'll walk on His ground. We'll see God, because that's what God's in everything. I want to look at another scripture over in John, the 5th chapter. Five and one says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Now what an idea. I don't understand all this, to be honest with you, just how this really was. Other than taking it for just the way it says it. Only the first one it sounded like that got in after the troubling of the water. And here was a man that had been in this condition 38 years. Now, boy, that can wear on you. And it seems to me like that your courage would waver. But the idea that you could ever make it would waver. I mean, when you first heard about it, you get in that case, it's maybe you didn't make it the first year, but you'd hope for the second or the third. 38 years, the man was there. 38 years. Folks, there is things that if Jesus doesn't help us, we don't have any hope. We can think about what God or what mankind can do in His intelligence to help us to get through problems or change us or whatever it is. But I'm going to tell you, there is things that if the Lord don't do anything, they're just ain't going to be anything done. 38 years. And I'll say this too. And we love one another, and well, we should. And we should have confidence in what we do, and we ought to have confidence in one another. And as much as the Lord works in us, we will have. But I want to tell you right now, man can disappoint you. He can disappoint you. When you think he ought to care, there may be a care, a responsibility, and you may never know it, but as when you think he ought to care the most and call you the worst, the greater responsibility may promote him to something else. I mean, even in goodwill, people can disappoint you. And you may never understand why or any of those things. There even can be such a thing as the Lord says to them, don't do it. Or the Lord diverts them from their intentions to do it. Don't go down that line of laying all that baggage on people. They ain't worth carrying it. Right. I'm not running down people. I'm just telling you, people can get you wrong. They can figure you wrong. They can let you down. Jesus says to this man, will thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. Come on! 38 years laying here in this condition and nobody cares? You mean to tell me that there wasn't a group, there wasn't some kind of a group made up, a non-profit, something that would come in and say, listen, this guy's been here for 38 years. Where's Salvation Army? Where's Red Cross? Where's somebody? Why doesn't somebody care? 38 years? More than enough time to see his condition and care for him? clear everybody else off. Wait a minute, let's take turns here. One after you're here first time, you're not going to beat him in here being the first time. He's been here 38 years. And he said, I have no man. You don't have no family? No friends? You don't have anybody? He may have said, I got a big family. But you have to be here when the angel comes. It's not that easy. It's hard. 38 years, I can't move quickly. And every time I start to make my way there, somebody, oh, maybe 1 year, 15 years ago, Lord, my toe was starting to turn. And somebody jumped off the edge in. And nobody cares. The psalmist said that no man cared for my soul. Yeah. Nobody cared. Well, folks, we have Jesus.
That's right.
We have Jesus. What is God to you? Because this is what God can be. You don't have to wait 38 years, folks. You don't have to wait 38 minutes today. God's here. Brother Ed said before, the passage of Scripture, come unto me. He said it was either a madman or God. It was God. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. Change your life. Do something for you. You want to be made whole? Yes, of course I want to be made whole, Lord. But no man. No man. I've seen too many people disappointed go away from the Lord because of men. I want to say to everybody, your experience is poor. If a man can drive you from it. I'm not belittling anybody. I'm just telling you. That's not what it's about. The relationship with the Lord. And it being unbreakable. So you fail. 10,000 to my right. Thousands to my left. 10,000 to my right. No. No, I'm going on. Because I have an experience with the Lord. The Lord makes my water. The Lord gives me what I need. This passage. He said, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. You found it.
Yes, that's right.
You found it. You've got it after 38 years. You remember the scripture in 6th chapter of John? I think this is the one I want. John 6. Six and 66. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where am I going to go? What other options do I have? No, I'm not going to go. What promoted the other ones to go away? No, I'm not going to go away. It's because you're God. And accept that. What is God? What is God to you? Is he a luck charm? A rabbit foot in your pocket? A force that I can go to get what I want. Right? I'll use this as a way for me to get what I want. That's not God. God owns everything. God is everything. God said some things to us to let us know what He is to us. He said, I am love. I love you. Do you know, I'll say it from my own experience, It's the thing that I bank on the most. The Lord loves me. I feel like sometimes I feel like life's going to rough me up. Well, no, I'm going to say it different. Life roughs me up sometimes. And what holds me is that I can say, it don't matter, God loves me. God, the God that gives me water and air, and God that gives my enemy water and air. And He can stop it if He wants to. I'm not saying I want Him to. I'm just saying it's still God in all of those things. I bank on that God loves me. Lord, where would I go? You have the words of eternal life. That's what God is to me. God is everything and everywhere. Another scripture I want to look at is in, let me see. Fifth chapter of Luke, I think, is what I want. Second verse of the fifth chapter says, "And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink." Now there's a story for you. Jesus comes along and says to some people, by their word, toiled all night, and they caught no fishes. All night and caught nothing. Nothing. See, it's all God's. It's all God's stuff. So, you know about fishing, do you? Were these skilled fishermen? Would you say they were skilled fishermen? Yeah. All their life probably. Was probably there all their life. And they failed. They failed in the occupations of their life. Don't always happen, folks. You know, this year I try to learn what I can. I just think it betters me. Try to learn what I can. If I'm going to garden, I like to know how to do it. I like to know what kind of fertilizer to put on what. I like to know what kind of ground it likes, what kind of pH they like, that kind of stuff. I like to know that, because why put something in the ground? You don't get most of it out of it. It don't make sense to me. If you're going to do something, do it with all your might. Do the best you can. That's the way I look at it. So it's what I try to do. So I was going to have a garden this year. I did have a garden this year. I tilled and planted. I've done everything that's normally do. I could do everything that I knew how to do, but there's one thing I couldn't do this year, is grow anything. It was awful. It was a kind of year. I planted cucumbers three different times. Honey, I don't think we ate a cucumber all that past. I don't think we did. I planted three cucumbers three different times, and they come up. It rained so much, so hard. It kept the ground so wet. It was so cold that the plants just wouldn't grow, would not do anything. I couldn't even raise a good tomato plant this year. I almost got nothing out of it. It was an awful growing year this year for me. I've done everything the way I know to do it and do everything. I failed, folks. I failed trying to do it. But there's a lesson in it. I'm not the ruler of the universe. God is. And God knows what He does with His seasons and His times and those kind of things. You can, you know, one writer said that he had learned that the race wasn't to the swift. And I sit and say, well, if it's not, who's it for? The fastest man's supposed to win, Brother Ivan. But the wise man looked at it and said, I'll tell you this. I've seen the swiftest man get up there and take off running and blow his leg plumb out. I've seen him, the last man, across the line. The battle's not to the strong, because I've seen the biggest army with the best things, and I've seen them go down on a fluke. I've seen them get sick with a stomachache before they went out and just get their heads cut off. He was talking about a factor that don't belong to you and I. Here was a situation to where he said, go, but you said, we've done it all night. Yeah, but you haven't done it with the master here. Go throw your nets out. I don't know how it worked. Did he send the angel to gather up the fish? Did they just miss the throwing of their net? I don't know I don't know how to answer all of those kind of things, but I know this. At thy word. At thy word, Lord. What is God? What is God to you today? He should be this kind of God. Lord, I know at thy word. When we get to we don't know the answers, we know the Lord knows them. And when we get into the kind of place we need something, and you toil all night. You ever toil all night and come up empty in the morning? You ever prayed and prayed and prayed? And then you pray some more and you get to saying, I remember telling the Lord one time, I said, Lord, I don't have anything else to pray. I feel like I prayed out. And the Lord spoke to me at that time and gave me that scripture where you're adopted, whereby you can cry, Abba, Father. I'm going to tell you, my faith took off and I did have some more to say. And the Lord answered. I had toiled without success. And then the Lord said, cast your nets one more time and do it this time with faith. And He inspired my faith and my nets filled up. And this is a situation where I think the Lord wants us to understand something. Do you know that there were so many fishes out there that they had to cry for somebody else? He didn't say who they was, said the other ship. Come and be a part of the blessings the Lord has said. And there are so many fish. I don't know what the advantage of sinking your ship would be. But the idea of having enough to do it, maybe they should have threw some of them all out. I think if the ship would sink, the fish would swim away. But I mean, you'd want to stop short of some. But the idea that the Lord will sink my ship with blessings. Well, if we're going to go down, let's go down this way. This is what the Lord has for each and every one of us. Go and cast out your nets. Lord, it doesn't seem like there's any reason to. I've done it, I've done it, and I've done it, and I've done it, and I've done it, and no reason to do it once more. I heard a story one time of down in South America, there was a guy. They got these little staked out areas. There was gold, and they was digging for gold. And there was these staked out areas, and there was a young man down there, the story went, that he was, had went and worked in the pits for other men, for like a dollar a day till he could get enough to buy his own. His ambition was, is that he gonna strike it rich. And so he did, he worked and he carried out these sacks of rock out of pits to, up these ladders, and he worked hard all day, and he made his money, and he bought him this little thing, and he starts digging and trying to get his own thing, and he digs without success. And finally, after a whole year of digging and toiling, he found nothing. His heart sank. How far did you go with nothing? Folks, our God isn't a nothing God. Yes, that's right. So he gave up. And he sold, the story went, he sold his little area to a guy and left. And that night, it rained and rained. And it softened the ground up. And the guy that had bought it came out the next day in the mud and went to dig in the bottom of it. And his first pick hit something solid. And it was one of the biggest gold nuggets ever took out of that area. The young man was one pick stroke short. Go cast your nets, the Lord said. I toiled all night. Go cast your nets.
Yes.
Go cast your nets. I'm God.
Yes.
I can fill your nets up. And he filled the nets up. One other story I want to tell you just in closing. There was a woman that for 12 years had an issue of blood. She was sick. She done what people would normally do. The whole suggestion of the story is that she must have had some kind of means. She couldn't have been a poor person because it said she spent all of her living. She spent what she had. She must have been a person of some kind of means, and she spent all of that in 12 years of trying to make herself better. And she grew worse. 12 years, but she grew worse. Not better. She grew worse. And it comes to the time that she says, but if I could but touch the hem of his garment. What's the Lord to you? Because this is what the Lord should be to you today. Approachable. The answer. The means. Of what I need. If I but can touch. You know how many times my faith's got a hold of that. I need something in my life. If I could but touch the hem of his garment. Oh, there's something special in that. There's something there. If I could but touch the hem of his garment. Oh, many times in prayer I'll say, Lord, if you'll just let us touch the hem of your garment. If I can just get to the power source that created the universe. What block, Brother Ivan, what can he do if he did that in my life? What can he do? He can do anything. If I could but touch the hem of his garment. And it said the woman who was weak with her condition had to be. She pressed through. Oh, to me, it's an analogy of pressing through the doubts and the fears and what other people will think and having to press through and what if it don't and all this. She had to press. She pressed through the multitude. She pressed through the crowd. She must have had to say, excuse me. Maybe she turned sideways. Maybe she crawled. I don't know, but she pressed through. It was work. It was a job. It was something to do. But if I could touch Jesus. Oh, that's my answer. It's our answer, folks.
Amen.
It's our answer. And yes, God gives gifts to men, but us always realize the minister only flicks the light switch on. He doesn't create the power that lights it up. He's only given the commission to work the light switch. So that's why we're very careful. And I think we should encourage one another. I always appreciate it. But I want to tell you this. I also thank God that we're not the people that lift up men. Because there's none of them worthy of it. It's the hem of his garment. It's the touching the Lord by faith that does it. So the minister simply turns it on and tells, this is what we promote. I've always heard that any minister worthy of salt only points souls to Christ. What can I do for you? Can't save you. I can't give you grace. Can't do nothing for you. Only thing I can do is tell you, Jesus is your answer, brother. Jesus is your answer. I'll be willing to say this. You got a difficulty in your life, marriage issues, problems in your life. You can boil them down to anything you want to. When it gets down to the end of them, I want to tell you what the answer is. It's God. God's the one that can help us. And all that time when he says, that woman got and she pressed through, and I don't know. I always like to ask this question. Do you think that she would have got that blessing if she would have missed his garment by 6 inches? Her faith was, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. What if she had missed it by an inch? She said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment. I'm going to tell you, she was going to touch the hem of that garment, wasn't she? And when she touched it, the expression is that I think the Lord wants to get to us, that the Lord, that there's an automaticness about it. He wanted us to understand that there was an automaticness about it. When you by faith reach and touch, there's something automatic about it because the Lord did not do anything. The scenario was, is if you'll come by faith and touch me, I'll bless you, was already set. She had met the criteria, and when she reached and touched it, he didn't have to perform. His perform was already set to perform. Do you know the Lord's already set to perform to help us?
Yes.
He wants to help us.
Yes.
You pray for me. I want to be faithful.